Hari Om Sahana Bhavatu Sahanam Bhunaktu Sahanam Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Shiva Sadi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare.
Okay, so then bottom of 32. Maharaj Prigga continues, those who hear Srimad Bhagavatam regularly and take the subject matter seriously will have Krishna manifest in their hearts in a short time. Why? Because Srimad Bhagavatam is the sound incarnation of Krishna. The Lord enters the heart of the self-realized devotee to cleanse the heart of all the dust of material association. A person so purified feels fully satisfied, as a traveler is satisfied at home after a troubled journey. Srila Prabhupada explains this analogy in his purport in verse 6. The example set herein is very appropriate. A traveler leaves home to search for wealth in far distant places, sometimes in the forest and sometimes on the ocean, and sometimes on hilltops. Certainly there are many troubles for the traveler when he is in such unknown places, but all such troubles are at once mitigated as soon as the sense of his family affection is remembered. And as soon as he returns home, he forgets all such troubles on the way. A pure devotee of the Lord is exactly in a family tie with the Lord, and therefore he is undeterred in discharging his duty in a full affectionate tie with the Lord. Right? So then once one comes back to that transcendental position, then one will have no, one will be fully satisfied. One will not have any anxieties anymore. Verses 7 to 29, Maharaj Pariksit's questions. From verses 7 to 22, the king asks a series of questions that anticipate the philosophical basis of the Srimad Bhagavatam. Because Brahma was speaking about that, so now he's asking these questions. In verse 23, Maharaj Pariksit summarizes the position of the Supreme Lord with regards to his internal and external potencies. From verses 24 to 26, he glorifies the hearing process and his Gurudev, Srila Sukadeva Goswami. The latter prepared himself to reply, as Sutta Goswami describes in verses 27 to 29. Maharaj Pariksit asks many questions. He wishes to know how the soul acquires his body. He inquires about the form of the supersoul within everyone's heart, and how that supersoul acts with his energies. He asks about the relationship between the demigods and the planetary systems within the universal form, Virat Rupa, about time and its effects, about the reactions of karma and living beings, about the creation and its lokas and inhabitants, about inner and outer space, about the characteristics and activities of great souls, about the human qualities that are divided into the Varnashram system of classification, about the different ages and the incarnations within those ages, about the different applications of religious principles, about mystics and mysticism, about the principles of creation, devotional service, and Vedic knowledge, about the generation, maintenance, and annihilation of the living beings, and about the existence of atheists as well as the unconditioned living beings. 7023. In his purport to verse 22, Srila Prabhupada writes that the progressive devotee of the Lord, according to Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur, that refers to a sadhaka bhakta who wants to attain perfection in his sadhana, must inquire from the bona fide spiritual master how living entities merged in the body of the Lord again come back at the time of creation. There are two kinds of living entities. They are the ever-liberated, unconditioned living beings, as well as the ever-conditioned living beings. Of the ever-conditioned living beings, there are two divisions. They are the faithful and the infidels. Of the faithful, there are again two divisions, namely the devotees and the mental speculators. The mental speculators desire to merge into the existence of the Lord, or to become one with the Lord, whereas the devotees of the Lord desire to keep separate identities and constantly engage in the service of the Lord. The devotees who are not fully purified, as well as the inferior philosophers, become conditioned again during the next creation for further purification. Such conditioned souls become liberated by further progress of devotional service to the Lord. Maharaj Parikit asked all these questions from the bona fide spiritual master in order to become fully equipped in the science of God. Right, so, in other words, you have the materialists who are here, and then the devotees who are faithful, the non-faithful and the faithful. So the faithful, then you have two. That means, in other words, they follow Shastra, they are understanding about transcendence, right? So then they're trying to get themselves beyond the material, right? So then in that, the devotees, and then of the devotees, then the those who are, what you said here, the ones with, term that he uses, were not fully purified, as well as the inferior philosophers. So at the end of the creation, then they'll be wound up back into the Lord. And then again they'll come out. Right? So that's because of having some desire other than the Lord. Right? So in other words, desiring only the Brahman platform is not enough to get yourself out of this cycle. Right? And mixed devotional service is not enough. So pure devotional service is required. Then that will transfer you from here to there. Right? Because both merge into the Lord at the time of disillusion, but again they come out back into the material world. Right? So they don't merge into the existence of the Lord and come out on the transcendental side, right, in the spiritual worlds. But they'll come back again on this side. Does that make sense? So that's why Prabhupada is saying it's important to understand this, because then the pursuit will be for pure devotional service, so that doesn't happen. Right? So if we're making that endeavor, then that's our best chance to not have that happen. Right? But if we're just thinking, no, I'm okay, and, you know, yeah, okay, next life, then it will be like that. You know? So one has to have that determination that it will be, will accomplish everything this life. Right? Because it's possible. That's recommended. Right? That's what's being offered.
Maharaj Parikit says, O great sage, representative of the Lord, kindly satisfy my inquisitiveness in all that I have acquired from you and all that I may not have acquired from you from the very beginning of my questioning. In other words, I've asked all these questions, please answer, and please answer all the questions that I should have asked. Mm-hmm. Right? Because I don't know the subject so well, so I only ask what I'm able to perceive. So now there may be questions that should have been asked. Please answer those also. So in other words, he's very sincere. He wants to know completely how the whole process works.
Since I am a soul surrendered unto you, please impart full knowledge in this connection. O great sage, you are as good as Brahma, the original living being. So why would he be as good as Brahma? Because of Parampara. That's the transparency. It's because that same chit potency is there. It's just a matter of how much volume is there. Let us say you have a small creek. Okay? You know, it's clean water flowing and all that. Can you take a bath? Yeah. Will you get clean? Yes. What if you have a big river? Like, it's the same thing. Just more people, more volume. That's the difference between gurus. Does that make sense? It's the volume that they can deal with. You know, does that make sense? It's not about the quality. We generally take it that, well, unless they're like Prabhupada, then you can't save anybody. No. Everybody who's in the bona fide line can save people. It's just how many. Right? Prabhupada can save the whole world, even beyond. Right? Even the demigods, and that will benefit. You know, like we have that story of when Lord Shiva and the Kumaras and I think Narad Muni were sitting and discussing some technical point in the philosophy, and they weren't quite sure about it. Then, as they're talking, they were looking out and they saw that going by in the space, Bhaktivinoda Thakur was chanting his japa. Right, he was just out on the
japa walk through the universe. So then they made the comment, there's a Vaishnava, we'll ask him. Right? So, you know, so, does that make sense? So then, this is the position of if someone's in the parampara. Okay? Yes? No?
Yes.
Yes. Okay.
Are the Munis in the same parampara?
There, but still. You know? But, yeah. It means that how technically do you want to get in here? This means that the Bhaktivinoda course for Braj and Shiva and them don't be Vaikuntha people. You know, so these more technical things he'll be able to because of just his position. Though, you know, they take help. Because when you're coming in the line, then you just take your position, whatever, however you fit. There's no point of prestige. It's however it's going to work in serving Krishna. Does that make sense? So it's not a problem that someone like Rupa Goswami, he is, well, in this case, but he's writing literatures, right? You know, in a subservient position to Vyas, right? But technically, on one level, he's superior. Does that make sense? By what he knows and things like that, what he's privy to. But the point is it's not a problem, these things. It's not a difficulty. Because of the clarity, the affection, then these things, it is not a problem. Does that make sense? Yeah. Okay. Maharaj Prakrit says, okay, I've got it. Oh great, since I am a soul surrendered unto you, please impart full knowledge in this connection. Oh great sage, you are as good as Brahma, the original living being. Others follow custom only, as followed by the previous philosophical speculators. Oh learned Brahmana, because of my drinking the nectar of the message of the infallible personality of Godhead, which is flowing down from the ocean of your speeches, I do not feel any sort of exhaustion due to my fasting. Right, so others follow custom only. It means these other six lines, you know, or in this case you take five because you're taking here as Vyas, as Vedanta is bona fide, but these other five lines is custom only because they're not actually real philosophies. Right? They're as good as you're going to get on the platform of mental speculation. You're not going to get more technically refined than these five philosophies. No one else is going to come up with these. Your non-Vedic philosophies are not going to anywhere near approach the philosophical sophistication that these have. But it's custom only because they're only handing it down. It's not real. In that there's that realization that is coming by the grace of the Lord. Here's because they want to know that Krishna, yes, gives them the intelligence. But he's pointing out that this is different. Right, the line he's representing is different. Okay, yeah. And then what? Yeah. Srila Prabhupada writes, the spiritual master is always prepared to impart knowledge to the disciple, and specifically when the disciple is very inquisitive. Inquisitiveness on the part of a disciple is greatly necessary for the progressive disciple. Maharaj Parikit is a typical disciple because he is perfectly inquisitive. Typical here meaning standard, not typical meaning just ordinary. Right? If one is not very inquisitive about self-realization, one need not approach a spiritual master simply to make a show of discipleship. And so it means don't do it for a social purpose. Right? Others have, so we have to have. You know, like it's now it's not so much you hear about it, but I think it was some years back it was the fad, not celebrities having a guru and stuff like this. You know, it was fashionable. Not only is Maharaj Parikit inquisitive concerning all he has inquired about, but he is also anxious to know about what he has not been able to inquire. Factually, it is not possible for a man to inquire about everything from the spiritual master, but the bona fide spiritual master is able to enlighten the disciple in every way for the disciple's benefit. So anything that needs to be connected in the explanation that he didn't ask about, then please add, because otherwise, then for the self-control, they will just discuss just how much you asked.
You don't ask about more, they don't talk about more. So in this case, because he's so sincere, he wants to know about those things he didn't ask about. But that will be valuable because he wants to know Krishna. So then this is, you know, very, very special discussion. Okay. Yes. Does that make sense? Yeah.
Huh? Why would Maharaj Parikshit ask those questions if he's about to die? And he has a short time.
Means those questions means?
Those that were listed. About the time, about the creation, okay, that's important. Then all those details. I'm just thinking, yourself going to die so soon, it's for benefit of others, I know, but so many details.
No, but like time, what is time governed?
Life,
but means because of time, what do you have? Movement. So movement means action. So that means everything that you do is governed by time. So how does that work? So how is time you? Because 7 days is still time. You know, and then you're talking about the whole Varnashram system of what is the total, what is the essence of that? How does the whole thing work? What's it for? What are you trying to get? One, then he can learn from whatever positions he's been in. And two, he can learn from the position he's in at present. Right? Because then in Manu, if you remember in the sixth chapter, then it's talking about Vanaprastha Sannyas and the mentality and how to deal with that. So he won't be, let's say, maybe performing certain, he won't necessarily have time for starting the four fires around him while he's sitting under the sun, you know, like that. But the point is the mentality that's there, that's the most important. What's the essence of this Vanaprastha Sannyas? Does that make sense? And then he was a Grihastha, so all that, how does he see that in connection with Krishna? How to connect everything? Because once it's connected, everything is very simple. Does that make sense? So it's what he's trying to get at is a vision. That's one thing, for his own self-realization. Because remember, there's two kinds of questions, about the Lord, and then about what will benefit us so that we can improve our position. The other is that, but the way the questions are made, generally they're in relationship to how the Lord is doing all this. Right? So then it's about the Lord's pastimes, and anything about the Lord's pastimes is always beneficial. Does that make sense? Yeah. But we see from the questions, and 10th canto comes up, but the thing is all these things being appreciated, then you can get the full benefit. Like that. So the idea is that you're fully cured from material perspective and you have the spiritual, then when spiritual activities are presented, you get the full benefit. So even if it's less, you get more benefit. You know, it's just like this. Let's say, not sure it's how to work, because this funny example came up. Okay, so let us say, you had a large sack of puffed rice, or even a room full of puffed rice. And you can have that from morning to night, 24/7. You can have that puffed rice. Okay. Or you can once a day have a very nice, you know, cooked, very exact, properly done meal. Okay. So the whole point is therefore all that purification is there, and even though let's say 10th canto may be the lesser amount by volume of the discussion, still is because of that preparation you're able to fully appreciate it. Does that make sense? So it's not about volume, it's about the quality. So if you have 7 days, then you want to be able to appreciate the quality of the pastimes of the Lord. So therefore, by purifying oneself by all these other discussions, then one's able to fully appreciate it. Is that, Or another example could be, it's okay, you can eat all day, so you just get up in the morning and you start eating. Now, how much can you eat the whole day just sitting in the house all day? Right? But now, if you get up in the morning, you go out and do some activities and all that, then come back to the house and have a meal. You understand? So that's the whole point, is that preparation is always of value.
It may be argued that Sukadeva Goswami is not the only authority of perfect knowledge and transcendence, because there are many other sages and their followers. Contemporary to Vyasadeva, or even prior to him, there were many great sages, such as Gotama, Kanada, Jaimini, Kapila, Astavakra, and all of them have presented a philosophical path by themselves. Patanjali, okay, is also one of them. And all these six great rishis have their own way of thinking. So in this case, Astavakra would be Vedanta. Yeah, it would be the impersonal, the Vedanta.
Prabhupada mentions him also in the first chapter and the first canto.
As Mayavan.
He doesn't say Mayavan, but he mentions
it. Because here, Gotama is Nyaya, Kanada is Vaisheshika, Jaimini is Karma Mimamsa, Kapila is Shankya, and then he said Patanjali is also one of them, that's yoga, so it only leaves the sixth as by default.
They give the same list of names in the first canto.
Yeah. Like that. In other words, Astavakra was who was there in the Vedic time, mm-hmm. like that. So because Shankara is modern, you know, it's in the modern time. You know, like that. I mean, he follows the Vedas, so you'd have to say he's more contemporary than that. But he is using Buddhism, so technically, it's how do you say, well packaged modernism. Or modernity. Okay. And all these six great rishis have their own way of thinking, exactly like the modern philosophers and mental speculators. The difference between the six philosophical paths put forward by the renowned sages above mentioned and that of Sukadeva Goswami as presented in the Srimad Bhagavatam is that all the six sages mentioned above speak the facts according to their own thinking. But Sukadeva Goswami presents the knowledge which comes down directly from Brahmaji, who is known as Atmabhu, or born of and educated by the Almighty Supreme, Almighty Personality of Godhead. No one can be independent except Narayana. Therefore, no one's knowledge can be perfect, for everyone's knowledge is dependent on the flickering mind. Mind is material, and thus knowledge presented by material speculators is never transcendental and can never become perfect. Mundane philosophers, being imperfect in themselves, disagree with other philosophers because a mundane philosopher is not a philosopher at all unless he presents his own theory. Intelligent person, so that's the point, is that in the material mundane philosophy, it has to be different. Otherwise, where's the speculation? Where's the taste? Right? Where's the intellectual exercise? But in Vaishnav line, then one doesn't have to present a new philosophy. One simply has to be able to present the already existing philosophy given by Parampara with one's own understanding. That should be like that. Yes.
This means that when we hear from the devotees some kind of speculation, it's completely mundane if they don't follow Parampara.
Yes.
As it is.
Yes. It means the speculative process being applied on. Let's say we see, you know, it says the whole world is only made of birth, death, old age, and disease. So you can see is okay, so many things are there. But then how to accommodate whatever we see into birth, death, old age, and disease. It was just like the devotees were walking down, I think it was at the Boston Harbor. You know, and there's, you know, it's a big harbor, big, huge ships, these huge cranes and these huge, you know, containers that they ship things with, and that kind of, you know, very big work trucks. And that Prabhupada says, what do you see? And devotees are coming up with all kinds of different things. So that's the mental speculation, right? But they're trying to bring it in line with the philosophy. You know, waste of time or this or that, so many things. And then after the end, Prabhupada said, no, sex life. And they're going,
how is this sex life? You know? So then Prabhupada said, why is this going on? Why is there a big shipyard that's moving all these containers on these ships? Why are people owning ships? Why are people driving ships? Why are all those people working there? So they all have money for sex life. So it goes back. So that's the whole thing. You apply it into it. Then this process is not considered speculative, because you're taking the philosophy and extending it. But if it's not with that intent, it's for maintaining a material position, then it's mundane. Does that make sense? So if it maintains the material identity, then it's useless. If it engages the material identity in the Lord's service, that's useful. There's a difference. So the point of engaging someone at the position they're at without having to change, Prabhupada said that, you know, quoting from Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati, that was written well before anyone in this movement was born. I mean, anybody was born. You know, because that's something that's written back from the 30s. You know, of course, unless somebody joined that was 90 years old. But other than that, the point is that the leading devotees who joined, this is well before them. So this point of preaching to somebody from the position that they're in, that's standard. But no one ever says that you preach that they should, that to keep them in that position and help them identify with that position. That's a waste of time. But whatever position they're in, they could start serving Krishna from that point without changing anything. But it's not that as they become purified, they won't naturally want to adjust. But if you say that, no, but they don't want to adjust, so leave them alone, that's fine. Krishna also says that. Don't disturb the minds of the ignorant. But then one has to accept it for what it is. It's ignorance. It's not that it's a perfect transcendental position. Right? So in other words, if someone's dynamic, they will try to develop it at whatever speed they can. That's fine. But we've always accepted it, and we have no problem with that. Yes. It's just like, did George Harrison move into the temple? No, but he asked. Yeah, he was the thing. Should I move into the temple? Shri Prabhupada said, no, stay in your position. You can do more from there. Like it is, what is it? You know, like official, I don't know what you call it, eulogy by all these musicians for him. At one point in it, they all started chanting Hare Krishna because they said this is what he liked to do. So all of them were chanting. And these are all, you know, the biggest names in this, you know, particular line of music. Right? So that means he must have spent hours and hours. Well, otherwise, why would they bring it up if it happened just here or there? Why would they bring it up? But they brought it up, it was part of the public program, because he must have done that a lot and involved them a lot. Right? But now, did Prabhupada tell everybody to stay, you know, not in the position, not move into the temple? No. So that's the whole point, is that you have that wherever the person will work best, that's fine. Right? But it's not because of his conditioning, it's because where do I have the most effect? You understand? So we have to be able to define the difference here. Then it will work. Is that okay? No one can be independent except Narayana. Therefore, no one's knowledge can be perfect, for everyone's knowledge is dependent on the flickering mind. Mind is material, and thus knowledge presented by material speculators is never transcendental and can never become perfect.
Mundane philosophers, being imperfect in themselves, disagree with other philosophies because a mundane philosopher is not a philosopher at all unless he presents his own theory. Intelligent persons like Maharaj Parikit do not recognize such mental speculators, however great they may be, but hear from the authorities like Sukadev Goswami, who is non-different from the Supreme Personality of Godhead by the Parampara system, as is especially stressed in the Bhagavad Gita. Right. So now, you may have people who are very popular. There are these, you know, yogis and, you know, Indian philosophers. Some of them had millions. I mean, one who just died recently had 50 million followers. 50 million, on the, you know, around the world. That's a lot of people, you know. And, you know, even if it's just in India, still, you know, it's a billion people, 50 million, how many is that? So like that. And Sukadev Goswami, when he walks into the assembly, how well is he being treated? Right? Everybody thinks he's strange, you know. Seriously alternative here, right? You know? So you could on one level say that, you know, as far as social goes, no one recognized him as someone special. But Parikit Maharaj is hearing from him because he's not a mental speculator. Maharaj Parikit was not interested in the dry speculation of the flickering mind, but he was interested in the topics of the Lord because factually he felt that by hearing such a nectarian message from the mouth of Sukadev Goswami, he was not feeling any exhaustion, even though he was fasting because of his imminent death. Right, so that's how he was saving time. Yes.
So this means that even before hearing from Sukadev Goswami, Maharaj Parikit, he was trained enough.
Yes.
To understand who is mental speculator, who is
yes.
not.
Yes.
He chose to listen from somebody who is a self-realized soul.
Yes.
But then, for many, it's not like you mentioned, you know, 50 million people following some Baba.
Yeah, yeah, like that. No, it's the training's not there. That's why Prabhupada wanted this training. That's why we the study of Bhagavatam, right? Because he introduced just so that we would be exposed to it and regularly hear the Bhagavatam class morning and evening, and then he expected that there would be the study of it.
Yeah.
Right. Because Prabhupada is the one who talked about these degrees. Bhaktisiddhanta says that he talked about established degrees. Sudha Goswami tells the sages that after being invited by Maharaj Parikit to speak on Lord Krishna, Sukadev Goswami prepared himself to describe the very first time Srimad Bhagavatam was spoken by the Lord himself to Brahma, 27-29. That's the end of the chapter. I was wondering, except, you know, the ninth chapter would be, let's figure it take more time, but now we see why. This is a lot bigger. Okay. So then, where does this go to? So this goes for most of the book. Okay, so there's the 7-9. Okay.
There's several vrittis at the end.
Okay.
That's 1, 2, 3, 4.
Okay, so then it's... I was thinking, how are we going to go through it so quick? Because... Okay. Chapter 9, answers by citing the Lord's version. Okay. That means we spent a year and a half on this canto when we did it before.
Mm-hmm.
So then, I wonder how much of that year and a half was spent on this chapter.
I remember being a couple of months.
Yeah, it was a long time. But it was new, the whole concept. Pratigya. Taking the path of tapasya is the real initiation. Okay. The pratigya, that is, the solemn purpose of chapter 9, answers by citing the Lord's version, is found in these words of Srila Prabhupada from the purport of verse 6. Not only does he summarize this chapter of Srimad Bhagavatam, but he traces a connection from the Lord's initiation of Brahma into the Chatushloki. Chatushloki Bhagavatam to the confidential revelation described in Sri Brahma Samhita, in which Krishna introduced Brahma to his Sarup as an eternal maidservant by teaching him to chant his holy name in love. When Lord Brahma was perplexed about how to construct the material manifestations in the universe and went down within the water to find out the means and the source of the lotus seat, he heard the words tapa vibrated twice. Taking the path of tapa is the second birth of the desiring disciple. The word upashani not is very significant. It is similar to upanayana, or bringing the disciple near to the spiritual master for the path of tapa. So Brahmaji was thus initiated by Lord Krishna, and this fact is corroborated by Brahmaji himself in his book, the Brahma Samhita. In the Brahma Samhita, Lord Brahma has sung in every verse, Govindam Adi Purusham Tamahang Bhajami. Thus Brahma was initiated by the Krishna mantra, by Lord Krishna himself, and thus he became a Vaishnava, or a devotee of the Lord, before he was able to construct the huge universe. Yes, so this element of the tapasya, when, in other words, taking up the activity of devotional service, that's the real initiation. Otherwise, that hearing from the spiritual master, going through the ritual, these are all important. But the real thing is when one takes it, applies it in the life, and actually tries to make that work. That's the real initiation.
We covered Pancha Samskar in the second year, one of the lines of Tapa.
Yes.
Regular and higher understanding.
Yeah. The
desire of the disciples to get out of this world.
Yes. So then that means you take up the activities. So in other words, it's the initiation is accepting the instructions, but what does that... So now here Prabhupada is giving a further point. What does that mean, accepting the instructions? So it means applying. Right, so that application, that's your tapa. So then that becomes the whole point. So in other words, it's not the ritual, it's the acceptance of the words of the spiritual master that this is what's going to take you back to Godhead. And then applying them. Right, so in other words, initiation is the how you say? You know, it's just like the secret and secret of all. So there's the ritual of initiation, right, that you've accepted. Then you've accepted the order of the spiritual master, that's more important. And more important than that is applying that instruction. So that's the real thing. So this all, you know, fighting over words of what's initiation or not, or, you know, the feeling or this and that, and so many things, these are not as important. The point is this, taking what the spiritual master says, applying it in your life. That's the... Adhyaya Prakashika. In the ninth chapter, the questions asked in chapter 8 are answered, and the four basic verses of Bhagavatam are spoken. Sukadev Goswami answers the questions that Parikshit Maharaj asked in the previous chapter. In so doing, he explains that all knowledge is obtainable by one who performs devotional service, as per the example of Brahmadeva in the beginning of creation. Brahma was ignorant when he first appeared on the lotus. After he gave up all material efforts to learn his origin and the reason for his appearance, Brahma received a mantra and underwent the austerity of a long period of meditation upon the spiritual sound. Because he pleased the Lord by this devotional endeavor, Krishna awarded Brahma transcendental vision by which he understood that his origin was the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And he understood that the reason for his appearance was to create the universe under the order of the Lord. The beautiful Supreme Lord, Sri Krishna, personally appeared before Brahmaji to speak to Chatushloki, the essence of Bhagavatam in four seed verses. So here is that. See, he gave up material efforts to try to understand. Then, when he's done that, then he received the mantra and then performing austerity by focusing on this, meditating on the spiritual sound, in other words, being absorbed in hearing and chanting. That's how everything progressed. Right? Other efforts are, you know, were not useful on their own. So only an effort in connection with hearing and chanting about the Lord gives results. Shloka Nisharana, summary verses. Verse 1 to 3, the relationship between the soul and the body. Verses 4 to 18, the Lord reveals Vaikuntha to Brahma. Verses 19 to 30, the Lord expresses his satisfaction and Brahma inquires with him. Verses 31 to 37, the Lord's reply, including the Chatushloki, verses 33 to 36. Verses 38 to 46, the Lord departs and Brahma recreates the universe. So here, recreates, because it's you're just creating again as it was before. So it's you can call it secondary creation, you can call it recreation. So it's not that when he does it on the first day, that's his secondary creation, and then, you know, the next day it'll be recreated, and those are recreation. It's actually that whatever creation he's doing, you know, manifesting the material phenomena, that is the same thing that was always done before by every other Brahma. Right? Since time immemorial, it's always the same thing. Right? There's never any difference. The principles are the same. There may be some detail difference. But in volume, maybe, you know, these bigger universes, then there might be subdivisions between planetary systems and all that. But still, it comes down to its 14 planetary systems. Why? Because it's based on the Veda, and the Veda is the same. Right? It's always based on the Veda. So there will always be Vurbhu Viswa. So that will always be there.
But also it's based on the universal form of the Lord, yeah. The soul.
Yeah. So that, yeah. So his form is the same, so it's not that it changes. Verses 1 to 3. The relationship between the soul and the body. In verses 1 to 3, Sukadeva Goswami explains that the soul's contact with matter is made possible only by the mercy of the Lord. Because right? Before you had all the material elements themselves can't come in contact with each other. How will the soul come in contact? Right? The 24 elements are separated, and so they're not combining. So it's only by the Lord's potency, then they're able to, by his means, they're able to come together. Now, who brings them together? Which form of the Lord? Sankarshan, but I'm saying in the way of the, how you say, Purusha avatars. Garbhadaksha, who's Prajumna. So in other words, he creates the attractiveness. So the just that it's held together and you see an object, that's because of Prajumna. It's attractive, it's held together. Now, if there's extra attractiveness that attracts you to it, then that's more is applied. But just that they're held together is still by attraction. Otherwise, they don't hold together. They don't have the power. Earth doesn't have the power to combine itself with water, fire, air, ether, like this. To create the senses, to create that. It's the Lord's potency that is able to make that happen. Does that make sense? So now, then, because that, then how is it that the soul is able to be, therefore, inside this? So that's still also, again, potency of the Lord. Otherwise, the jiva can't just be in. We just take it for granted. Of course he's there. It's still the Lord's potency that you have the transcendental living entity in contact with dead matter. Right? How do these two go together? They don't, you know. Does that make sense? Yes.
Yes. There's a book which Srila Prabhupada says the name Sankarshan has some etymological meaning to do with the master of integration and disintegration.
Yes. It means that he pulls it together, it's there, and
is he doing that as Prajumna?
Means you have that. See, because Garbhadaksha and Vishnu will have all those aspects. Mm-hmm. But the prominent features, he's the one that creates the attractiveness to it. Otherwise, why are we here? Because we're attracted to it. Mm-hmm. So that's the prominent feature. But the same time is that potency to hold it together, that, you know, would be Sankarshan. Okay. Right? You know, and then Prajumna is expanding from there, so then there's the attraction. Because something once held together, then you have that interest. Mm-hmm.
The potential for attraction to it.
Yeah, because unless something's held together, how do you know? It's just like if I take, you know, the whatever it is, the latest, you know, how you say, Ferrari or something, take it apart down to its last screw in that and spread it out all over the floor nicely, you know, and then I come in and introduce to you, ta-da! You know, there may not be a great attraction.
Agreed.
Yeah. So, that's the point. Sukadev Goswami first replies to Maharaj Parikshit's question about the pure soul and his acquisition of his material body. Quote, does the spirit soul acquire his body accidentally, or is there a cause? Srimad Bhagavatam 287. Sri Sukadev Goswami answered, O King, unless one is influenced by the energy of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, there is no meaning to the relationship of the pure soul and pure consciousness with the material body. That relationship is just like a dreamer seeing his own body working. The illusion living entity appears in so many forms offered by the external energy of the Lord. While enjoying in the modes of material nature, the encaged living entity misconceives, thinking in terms of I and mine. As soon as the living entity becomes situated in its constitutional glory and begins to enjoy the transcendence beyond time and material energy, he at once gives up the two misconceptions of life, I and mine, and thus becomes fully manifested as the pure self. Right? So this concept of I and mine, because the identification with transcendence hasn't happened. Otherwise, I and mine here is based on the illusion that I am the body, I am these activities that are going on here. Right? Does that make sense?
Yeah.
No, so what's the cause?
What is the?
What's the cause for that? The question?
The living entity's interest in thinking in terms of I and I. Right, which comes from I'm the controller, I'm the enjoyer. Right? Because I'm the controller, then there has to be a sense of I to be able to control something. And if I'm the enjoyer, then something has to be mine to enjoy it. Because unless I can control it, how do I enjoy it?
So it's before karma.
Yes. That's why we're here. Because the problem starts already from on the transcendental platform. Is the soul is situated on the transcendental platform, but and he's in the state of neutrality, which is technically transcendental, right? But it's not the natural. You could say it's the. Let's see. How would you say? It's not the natural position. You could say it is a position, like the child is born, so it hasn't actually really met and interacted with the parents, right? So, but the natural position is that interaction. Right? So that makes sense. So the soul is on that transcendental platform, meaning on the spiritual platform, but it's a matter of whether he's interested in transcendence as a lifestyle or in trying to himself control and enjoy what he sees. So if he wants to control and enjoy what he sees, then he's giving the external energy to work with. Right? Because only on the external energy is there this concept of I and mine. On the spiritual platform, you don't have that idea that it's I'm the controller, I'm the enjoyer. Does that make sense? You have the thing, I am the servant, right? And Krishna's enjoyment is my happiness. So that's the natural position. But if we take this other one, where we try to replace, then we end up here. Does that make sense? So, this misconception has to happen before you're in the material world. Mm-hmm. But it's happening means you're automatically within the material world. But it starts before that. You could say it's simultaneous, you know, it happens together. Does that make sense? You know, so it can't happen in the material world. And if you're on the platform of prema, it can't happen. Does that make sense?
Srila Prabhupada explains.
The spirit soul is distinct from the material conception of his life, but he is absorbed in such a mental material conception because of being influenced by the external energy of the Lord, called Atma Maya. Now the next question automatically made will be why the Lord influences the living entity through such consciousness and forgetfulness. The answer is that the Lord clearly wishes that every living entity be in his pure consciousness as a part and parcel of the Lord, and thus be engaged in the loving service of the Lord as he is constitutionally made. But because the living entity is partially independent also, he may not be willing to serve the Lord, but may try to become as independent as the Lord is. All the non-devotee living entities are desirous of becoming equally as powerful as the Lord, although they are not fit to become so. The living entities are illusioned by the will of the Lord because they wanted to become like him. Right? So in other words, you have that mentality, so therefore by the Lord's will you become illusioned. So then if you try to change that mentality, then by the Lord's will, then one will come back to the transcendental position. Right? But it starts with the independent desire of the living entity.
Is it a past thing?
Sorry?
Is that the fast transformation?
Is it fast?
Yeah, I'm mine, this whole consciousness.
That the consciousness can be quick. It's just it takes just a moment for that to happen.
And then
because the point is then Tathasta Shakti is what is holding together the spiritual and the material all in one place. So now the point is, since one's functioning within that Tathasta Shakti, then the Tathasta, it means you could either be, you could either see the spiritual or the material. It's like you're facing somebody. No, what I'm saying, you're facing somebody. What do you see?
Somebody.
Yeah. Okay. Now, what if you're behind them?
The back.
Turn away from them. It means you're in front of them, facing them, or you're behind them, and turned away from them. Yeah. You understand? So therefore, what we're saying is that someone like Srila Prabhupada is here, means it's the external energy that you're working with. But what will he see? Yeah, Krishna. So he'll see how the workings of the Lord and his energy. So he doesn't see material nature. He'll see the external energy, but he will see the internal potency working. So he'll work with yoga maya. So now you have that place where the spiritual world and the material world meet. So you can see them both. And so the spiritual world is controlled by yoga maya, the material world is controlled by mahamaya. So it's not about the place, it's about how you view it. Does that make sense? Just like, for example, the warden, he walks through every aspect of the prison. Is he ever a prisoner? So is he actually in prison? He's located at the prison site, but is he in prison? No. But let us say you take a convict, and they're going out, let's say, to, you know, clean the highway somewhere. So even though they're out of the prison and on the highway in so-called the free land of society, are they out of prison? No. So it's not the location that matters. We always make it about the location. We always make it into time and space. You know, that's just our natural incarnation because that's what we've dealt with since time immemorial. But it's not about that. It's about the consciousness, how you view it. So therefore, from the neutral position of Tathasta, then you can see both the transcendental internal potency and the external potency. The external potency means by looking at it that I am the controller and enjoyer. And the internal means I am servant of Krishna. So the same item, that we can be living in the same house, do you see it as somehow or another connected to how you can serve Krishna? It's just like this. Since you cannot go out with Krishna during the day, right? Then, and it should not be known that you're going out with Krishna at night,
Where's the safest place to be? At a house. You have a home, you have, you know, a husband, you have in-laws. Right? So then you do your duties. So now what does that mean? You're part of the scene. So therefore the house is of value because it allows you to be in the position you're in. Does that make sense? But if you think that this house, yeah, this is a great house, I can really, you know, I can get into this. You're not actually in the spiritual world, you're in the material world. Though you're dealing with superior energy. And so because of that, then when the Leela moves on, then you'll be moved on to the material world. Does that make sense? Like that. So when everybody there goes to Golok, you don't. You then enter the material world. Does that make sense? So even though you're dealing with superior energy, its effect on you is that of external, of material energy. Just like the devotee is in external energy, but because he deals everything with Krishna, he gets the effect of the internal potency. Yes.
In the path of returning, as we're going back to Gokul, in that situation, if our consciousness is not perfect by the end, do we move on to Gokul again and again until...
You can't. Though, generally, is that the thing is if you're, you know, properly prepared, then you should be able to do that in one lifetime. But Haridas Thakur points out, if you maintain the pride that I am advanced and I am a, you know, how you say, guru of devotees, and he says you can remain in Gokul for hundreds of births.
But you don't come down because you have the...
No, because you're on the platform with Baba and you've already given up the material, but it's just you haven't accepted, you know, the platform of pure unalloyed devotion. Yeah, you may be in the platform of pure devotion, but not pure unalloyed. So, but it's not brought up much. But he only brings it up once. No one else really talks about it. They hint at it here and there. But it's not a prominent thing because, generally speaking, one will. Because that's what you've been training, your love for Krishna. What gets in the way? Your material desires. If you're in the spiritual body, you're liberated. So therefore you don't have those. Mm-hmm. But it's just your spiritual desires aren't cultivated enough that it's prema. Mm-hmm. But in that environment, generally speaking, you will always move that way. That's why we say automatic. It just basically moves that way. Now, if you're dynamic, then immediately you move through, you have the desire, very early you get the association of the Nitya Siddhas, and then you move on. We see pastimes of when Krishna, Radha and Krishna are 3 years old, that they're already going and performing their pastimes. Even before that, just when after Radharani's appears, right? Then Radha and Krishna, when they first come in contact with each other, then Radharani opens her eyes. And so in other words, it's going on from the beginning. So if you're really, you know, to have that drive, then you'll come in contact with the Nitya Siddhas early. And so then when it comes time, when the Rasa dance comes up, you're already ready. Does that make sense? But if you haven't, it hasn't been that dynamic. You know, you've been happy making cow dung patties and stuff. You know, so then, but because the interest is in Krishna, then when he calls, that attraction is there. But it may be that it's enough that it comes up so strongly that then after a few obstacles, you can go. Right? The ones that have already are interacting with the Nitya Siddhas, they go without obstacles. Yogamaya arranges. Those that haven't quite, then there'll be obstacles, then they'll be able to go. But those who it's still more, then they'll get stuck for that night. And then in that position of being stopped, that in meditation on Krishna, all their pious and impious activities are burnt up. Now they become to that point of complete attachment. Then they'll be able to go the next rasa dance. You understand? So you have that gradation is there. So that's the standard, that's how it would work. Now of course, if you really want to be stubborn, yes, you can stay there for however many lifetimes as you want, but the regular point is this, why be so stubborn? Is that, yeah.
Like a person, okay, the living entities are illusioned by the will of the Lord because they wanted to become like him. Because they want to be like him, then they become illusioned. It's not that Krishna puts you in illusion. You know, just haphazardly chooses this one and that one. You know. Like a person who thinks of becoming a king without possessing the necessary qualification. When the living entity desires to become the Lord himself, he is put in a condition of dreaming like he is a king. Therefore, the first sinful will of the living entity is to become the Lord. And the consequent will of the Lord is that the living entity forget his factual life and thus dream of the land of utopia, where he may become one like the Lord. So that's why everybody has this whole idea is just how they can just keep going on and on and on, because they're you know, by the Lord's will, then they are able to think. That's why it's causeless mercy, because we're not that serious about spiritual life. You know, and then by Krishna's grace we come in contact. The child cries to have the moon from the mother, and the mother gives the child a mirror to satisfy the crying and disturbing child with the reflection of the moon. Somebody said, so here's also, means one is that it's, he wants the moon, so then the mother gives him the moon. You get a mirror, and you shine it in such a way that he can see the moon in the mirror, and then you hand that to the child. And then he sees, I got the moon, you know, so then you have to show him how to, and you may even have to help him get like that, you know, so he has the moon. And of course, how long do they want something, right? You know, and then it's a matter of time, they'll drop the mirror, and then something else is important, right? But this is how it works. Is somebody wants something, then you give it in a way that it's. Does that make sense? You know, the Lord could have said, "No, that's stupid," but then you know that doesn't work so good. Similarly, the crying child of the Lord is given over to the reflection, the material world, to lord it over as karmi, and to give this up in frustration to become one with the Lord. Both these stages are dreaming illusions only. There's no necessity of tracing out the history of when the living entity desired this. But the fact is that as soon as he desired it, he was put under the control of Atma Maya by the direction of the Lord. Right? So right there in the spiritual world, it means you can be like that. Or at that moment, somehow, whatever it is. That's what doesn't matter. That's the thing. No, I gotta have answers. I've got to know. These are the ones that really doesn't matter. You know? And it's just like, I ate lunch and somehow or another I got indigestion. And so my answer, burning question is, the spoon that they served the subji with, how many grams did it weigh? And which company manufactured it? You know, absolutely useless. The point is that you ate the wrong thing. So here is that we have the wrong mentality. So therefore, that's it. So there's no use in trying to find out the exact time and date. You know, okay, if I was in Goku, where was I in Goku when I made the? You know, it's that who cares? The point is you're here. You know what I'm saying? Isn't it? Yeah. You know, just like the living entity, the criminal in prison. Does anybody really care what street and what number he was at when he got picked up by the police? Yeah, but so I'm saying, does anybody ever remember this? You know, is anybody looking for this? Is that what the other inmates want to know? And by knowing that would get them out? No. So that's the whole point.
Why is that misconception then so burning in some people, that particular one?
Because the point is then you want to identify it in time and space, and then where is time and space?
Here.
So that means we just want to stay here. Mm-hmm. If that's your burning question, it means we're not actually serious about getting out of here. Mm-hmm. Otherwise, why would we worry about it so much? Because the whole point is that it's the mentality that we have. But that's the point. It's, but it's the arguments over time and space. which is the point which is not necessary at all. The real point is this, the mentality you had of I and mine, and I'm the controller and enjoyer. That's the one that's what got us here. So that means if that's what got us here, by giving that up, then I'm not here anymore. You know, all this from that, then down into Brahman, the whole creation and everything, and how the material elements, the modes of nature, all that's working. Right? All that kind of thing, we can take that and trace it back and slowly, slowly try to, deal with each one and connect with the Lord. But the simplest thing is just, I'm servant of Krishna, and the goal of life is to please Krishna in pure devotion. With that, then that whole process is automatically nullified. Does that make sense? So therefore, arguing over time and space is really a waste of time. Okay. There's no necessity of tracing out the history of when the living entity desired this. But the fact is that as soon as he desired it, he was put under the control of Atma Maya by the direction of the Lord. Therefore, the living entity in this material condition is dreaming falsely that this is mine and this is I. The dream is that the conditioned soul thinks his material body is I, or falsely thinks that he is the Lord, and everything in connection with the material body is mine. Thus, only in dream does the misconception of I and mine persist life after life. This continues life after life as long as the living entity is not purely conscious of his identity as the subordinate part and parcel of the Lord. The different positions of the living entities in the material world under multifarious manifestations of bodies are due to the misconception of I and mine. The Karmi thinks of this world as mine. The Jnani thinks I am everything. The whole material conception of politics, sociology, philanthropy, altruism, etc., conceived by the conditioned soul is on the basis of this misconceived I and mine, which are products of his strong desire to enjoy material life. And so when these things come up, it's just as that desire is there. It's too strong. You know, you may have gotten worked on other areas, but then this is where the anartha is still lying. This is where this is keeping us. So does that make sense? So you might find individuals might be very developed and advanced in some ways, but still maintain that kind of worry. But it just means that's where the problem still lies. In the other areas, it's good. So they can give it up there, then the lifestyle is quite good. Mm-hmm. Like that. And if the whole thing is not so good, then it's really not important.
From this, it sounds that the ego of the jnanis is considerably bigger than that of the karmis.
Well, the karmis is looking at, how he can take... I mean, it's like even the biggest, guys here, what was their aspiration? How much did they want to control? The world as they knew it. Genghis Ji, he controlled the world that was known to be there.
Bound by the four cities.
Yeah. So, he had all the way from, Mongolia and that side over there, all the way over to Turkey. So there was an ocean on this side and an ocean on that side. So, who goes north into the forest there? That's for suburbs, right? And below that's the Himalayas, so you can't really go, there's not a lot, at least a narrow mind happening there. Right? So as far as he knew, it was the whole world. Alexander, that was the world of what they knew. They only knew this part of the world, that lower, below the Himalayas. So he again, from ocean down to the... So they knew the world as they knew it. So you take each one of them. Maximum is this world, but the Jnani, he thinks he's God, and so therefore he is the universe, he is the cosmos. So who has a bigger false ego? Yeah. So that's why it's considered lower. Higher, it means lower in the... lower in that it's keeping you farther away from the Lord. In other words, the karmi is a little closer than the jnani, because the karmi accepts forms and activities that will make you happy. Just they think it's connection with themselves that's supposed to make you happy. You just have to
adjust that to its in connection. The Lord makes you happy. While the impersonalists think that there's nothing, so therefore there is no activities, there is no transcendental forms, there's nothing. So that's technically the farthest away.
How to adjust that.
Yeah. So yes. But socially, the impersonalist is on a higher position because they're very renounced from the material world, because we're trying to give up the material world and accept the spiritual. So they're halfway in between. So from that side, they're respected. But as far as positioning, it's not good. Does that make sense?
Okay. Okay, so therefore, if we mix in these elements, the problem mentioned, politics, sociology, philanthropy, altruism, then their material conceptions are based on I am I. You know, does that make sense? So we make these positions, but we're using these social positions, political positions, but they're based on the identity of I am I. But at the same time, to give it its position so that we don't throw it out as mundane, they'll say we're not this body. But the whole point is the argument's based on the position of the body. Does that make sense? You know, so that's the whole thing. You know, it's all these different things. You know, we're not all farming it out there, you know, getting our hands dirty growing carrots, that it's a waste of time. It's all, you know, how you say, just theory. But then it's based on my hands and carrots. You know, does that make sense? Or, you know, anything that one will take. You know, it's all about the cows, it's all about the old people, it's all about the ladies, it's all about the kids. So that's the thing, is that it's based on I and mine. It's not about Krishna and his laws and Varnashram, because most people who profess these liberal stances of philanthropy and all those things are not very favorable to the Vedic, to the Varnashram. So it's not based on Dharma, you know, and it's not based on moksha. So what's left? Artha and Kama. Does that make sense? So that's the difficulty. It's just other tricks of, it's just nicer tricks of I and mind. Seemingly, you know, idyllic I and mind.
The basis of them all is
ahamkara. Basically, all of them. Because you think they are the body, or I am the body. I am doing benefit like that. But no, only Krishna can do benefit. And so therefore you have to please Krishna. These other things are... Piety is useful as long as it's favorable to the Lord. The piety not used in the service of the Lord basically has no position.
The whole material conceptions of politics, sociology, philanthropy, altruism, etc., conceived by the conditioned souls, is on the basis of the misconceived I and mind, which are products of a strong desire to enjoy material life. The two misconceptions of life, namely I and mind, are verily manifested in two classes of men. In the lower state, the conception of mind is very prominent, and in the higher state, the misconception of I is prominent. In the lower stage of human life, the same misconception is predominant in the shape of it is my body, it is my house, it is my family, it is my caste, it is my nation, it is my country, and so on. And in the higher stage of speculative knowledge, the same misconception of mind is transformed into I am, or it is all I am, etc. The misconception of I am the Lord or I am the Supreme is more dangerous than the misconception of mind. Although there are sometimes directions in the Vedic literature to think oneself one with the Lord, that does not mean that one becomes identical with the Lord in every respect. So it means that in the
in other words, there's oh, here, I'm just gonna.
Undoubtedly, there is oneness of the living entity of the Lord in many respects, but ultimately the living entity is subordinate to the Lord, and he is constitutionally meant to be satisfying the senses of the Lord.
Right, because there's the element of you understand that we're Brahman, that we're transcendental. So that aspect of oneness with the Lord. So that will be either in the thought or in I think it's called Ahangropasana, that you see that connection, but you never think, I am the Supreme. It's just you see that I am that transcendental position. Or nyasas, you use the mantras and put them onto the body. So these are all ones that can be used to advantage to get out of the material and into the spiritual. But one never thinks that I am the Supreme Lord. But there are those who think of the way of I, they'll use them in that way. But otherwise, then that's not the position. That's why generally we never use them. So on the path of spontaneous devotional service, we don't use them as techniques of ritual. Even though they're bona fide, we don't use them.
The Bhagavad Gita says that one can be freed from the control of the material energy by surrendering unto the Supreme Lord. But if there is no surrender, then the living entity will never be able to control the material nature. And so if there's surrender, then one can control. Because if you do what you're supposed to do, and you see yourself as a servant of the Lord and one's humble, then one can follow the rules and regulations and then see the Lord as one's maintainer and protector. Otherwise we think, I'm maintaining myself, I'm protecting myself. Like that. And generally the problem comes is in the first four. We don't want to identify in that way with the Lord and identify, you know, as being in a humble position, and therefore following the rules and regulations is not, you know, prominent. So therefore, that last stage doesn't come up. That's the interesting. It starts at the last two, five and six of the first two six. If those are there in you know, beginning stage, then one can start doing those and then come to that on the advanced stage. Does that make sense? So it's still... Bhakti generates bhakti. When there's idea, yes, I'm servant of the Lord, and you know, and I take that humble position, then that faith comes up to be able to follow. Right? Because that's what's happened. You've associated with the devotees, developed that faith, developed the associate, you know, that sadhusanga. So therefore one wants to follow. That's what it says. The real initiation is now following. So now I take up seriously following. And so then I surrender and take and see myself as the servant of the Lord, right? So he's my protector and maintainer. And then more advanced we come to identifying in that specific spiritual position. Does that make sense? Yeah. So we see is that same position is there, is that's what extends all the way down. So that mentality has to be there to start the process. Because otherwise, if I think I am the controller and enjoyer, then the process doesn't start so much. So we don't take up seriously following the rules and regulations. Because of that, then we don't see the Lord as our maintainer and protector. You know? And then you don't move to the Uttam stage. Mm-hmm. Right? So you can see is that the first two are technically the neophyte, the middle two are the Madhyama, and the last two are the Uttama. But there must be a touch of that Uttama to start the process. Because bhakti only comes from bhakti. Yeah.
Okay. Powered by the bhava.
Yes. So that means that touch of bhava, that you know, then that's what starts the process, and then one develops until one comes to the actual factual stage of bhava. So one must give up this misconception of I by practicing the way of devotional service or firmly being situated in the transcendental loving service of the Lord. Verses 4 to 18. The Lord reveals Vaikuntha to Brahma. In this section, Sukadev Goswami explains that all knowledge is obtainable by one who performs devotional service. because Brahma pleased the Lord by this devotional endeavor. Krishna awarded him transcendental vision by which he understood that his origin was the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and that the reason for his appearance was to create the universe under the order of the Lord. Right, so his devotional endeavor pleases the Lord. Then he's able to get the proper understanding. So that's, yes.
How does things connect? He was, Brahma was appointed the vision that he is in his servant. Man is position of being the creator, the secondary creator. And then seeing like, in these three, do they go together?
Can. Yeah, but you have a form here, so therefore you engage yourself. I mean, since you're here, you do service here.
Okay.
So then, what is your nature? What it is you're supposed to do?
Okay.
Does that make sense? Like that. So he, specifically, as an empowered incarnation of the Lord in the form of the mode of passion. Right, so therefore that's what he's supposed to do, right? And so, and then he does those things, but we see on his daily basis he performs his duties within the Varnashram system, right? He's a householder and he's a brahmana, so he performs those in the general social. Now a brahmana is, there's no one higher than him within the world unless there is a another incarnation of the Lord that would be considered socially more prominent, which generally means Vishnu Tattva. Right? So Shiva technically is superior, but because he manifests as his son, then that socially that won't be. But, you know, but and the four Kumaras were also incarnations. Then but theirs also his sons. But like Hamsa Avatar or like this, then that they'll be considered the superior position. So that's there. Then you have the position as maidservant, so therefore then there's an understanding, at least to some degree, of the spiritual world, because that's where he's going to do that service there. Just like he understands what's here, he understands what's there. Is that okay? Okay. Next, Sukadev takes up the question about the Lord's form. I wish to know the difference between the Lord's universal body and the bodies of the living entities. So how did the Lord, the living entity, get here? Because the desire of I and mine. And therefore, by the Lord's will, he's under the control of Atma Maya, material energy. Now, if you take up devotional service in the association of the devotees, or in the association of devotees, you'll be able to take up devotional service by the performance of which the Lord will be pleased, and he'll remove that control of the Atma Maya. So now he's asking, so then what's the difference between the bodies of the living entities and the Lord's universal body? Right? Because this is the material body, and then we're saying that's the material conception of the Lord. So is that, what's the difference there? Srimad Bhagavatam 2.8.8. In answer, Sugadev Goswami relates how Brahmadev underwent great penances in Bhakti Yoga. Because his endeavors were devotional, they pleased Sri Krishna, who graced Brahma by releasing him from all illusion by presenting his eternal and transcendental form. That is the objective goal for purifying the conditioned soul. According to Srila Jiva Goswami, verse 4 proves the superiority of personalism over impersonalism. In his purport to Bhagavad Gita 13.8, Srila Prabhupada states that Brahman is concentrated transcendental knowledge, that knowledge being Atma-bhuti, Prakasham, the effulgence or revelation of eternal self-understanding. The Supersoul is the same principle, even more intensified, for as Srila Prabhupada explains in Teachings of Lord Kapila, Chapter 15, the Paramatma aspect of the Supreme is known by realization of the Chit-Shakti, a potency from which transcendental knowledge manifests. Sri Krishna is knowable by an even more intensified realization of potency, that is, realization of the ananda potency of transcendental bliss. Right? So by sat, you understand Brahman. By chit, you understand Paramatma. By ananda, you understand Krishna. So that means this sat's already transcendental when that intensifies. So that's already intense, because this is pretty unintense. Right? You know?
like that. So when it says so sat, that's intensified. So that's just knowledge, because it's all Krishna's qualities. Right? So then that, all that under that knowledge. Right. So here is that the personal path of performing the Lord with devotion then is much more efficient than the impersonal. Right? So by performing his tapasya in meditation upon the personal form, on the mantra of the Lord, in connection with the Lord, in devotion, then he was able to see the Lord who was situated transcendentally. So Jiva Goswami is pointing out this is much more efficient than the impersonalist path, which you might be able to elevate yourself, but then again you fall down. So it's not, you know, so Brahma was Brahma, you know, on the conditioned platform, and then he's Brahma on the transcendental platform, right? No grass, right? But the Mayavadi, then they go to the Brahman, and then they come back as grass or a rock, right? So therefore, not so efficient. Right? And then you got to get from a blade of grass back up to human and then start all over again.
And Lord Brahma's aspiration to be a blade of grass is very different.
Yes, that's a different aspiration. Yes.
And in our process, we don't stress so much meditation and tapasya. Even
we don't. For sure.
Unless I don't. Not in our family.
Okay.
I wanted to make it more general.
Everyone that I know doesn't stress the meditation or tapasya of their families. So, but when one's chanting the holy name, what's the meditation on? Not what you're cooking for dinner.
Shouldn't be.
Okay, you know. Okay. So is that not meditation? Do you not, you know, what you're doing, see it in relationship to the Lord?
It is, but what I meant.
So that's the point, is that's how we meditate. That's the advantage of Bhuti Yoga over these other yoga systems, because Arjuna, it was already mentioned about sitting down and doing the Astanga Yoga system, and Arjuna said basically that's impossible. And that was at Dwapara Yuga, so not even Kali Yuga yet. You know? Yeah, so it's not even just that. Yeah, so that's, so therefore, it's a matter of how you apply it. You know what I'm saying? So the principle is the same, it's just how you're doing it. So we're able to do it in active Krishna consciousness. Right? Therefore, you know, the fifth chapter, Karma Yoga, action in Krishna consciousness. So that's why this whole second canto is about how to meditate on the Lord in everything that you're dealing with. Does that make sense? And tapasya is that you're always doing everything in connection with the Lord. You're applying the instructions of the spiritual master. That's, he heard tapa, so he applied that. So we hear instruction, we apply it. Does that sound right?
Is it fair to say that our meditation is Krishna consciousness? Being conscious of Krishna reactive?
Yeah, you could say that. You could say our meditation is being Krishna conscious. But as Krishna is mentioning in the Chakra Shloki, the fourth verse, so that, you know, the Brahman, the Paramatma, the Bhagavan platform at all times, all places, all circumstances, indirect, direct, and indirect. So we're always trying to see that. That's meditation, you know. So that's the tapasya. Mm-hmm. Is that okay? So, taking into logical account the gradations of these potencies, there can be no doubt that by knowing Krishna Bhagavan necessitates knowledge of Brahman as much as knowing algebra necessitates knowing of simple arithmetic. But by what possible logic could the reverse be true? Krishna realization transpires a much higher level of potency than Brahman realization. Hence, Krishna must be accepted as the source of Brahman. So it's natural, you know, Krishna. That answers your question before, is that if we know Krishna, then to know Krishna as Bhagavan means as the complete whole. Right? So then that means we understand how he is Brahman and Paramatma. Therefore, knowing Krishna or Ishanukata means all these aspects. So all his leelas. Okay? So that's the difficulty with the Sahajiyas. They'll only accept certain portions of his Bhagavan leela. So then that's not really accepting the person. That's just accepting a particular aspect. So it's similar like Paramatma, that you only accept a certain aspect. But it's not that one may then say that, you know, Mother Yashoda only accepts a certain aspect, but she accepts everything in connection with that. So as Bhagavan, the Supreme Lord, then we have to accept that, because technically we are not active in our relationship with the Lord, because if we were, we wouldn't make that point in the first place. Right? We wouldn't support, you know, that, you know, Mother Yashoda this or that. We would be quite comfortable. Right? So the point is we have to know Krishna as the supreme absolute truth, how he is the cause of all causes. Like that. So the point is, if we know him as the cause of all causes, we should know what causes are. Right? Then we can appreciate his position. Otherwise, then, you know, yeah, he's the guy who, you know, plays his flute and hangs out with the girls. But, you know, and I'm the Lord of creation. No, he's the Lord of creation. And so that puts us in a position, then we can transfer our consciousness there. Otherwise, yes, he's the supreme there, the ultimate goal, but while I'm here, I'm, you know, the person comes to the temple at the program, so devotional, so that, but as soon as they walk out the door, then again, back into their material mode of how they control and enjoy of everything. So that's why those aspects of Brahman and Paramatma, the creation, and how the Lord's entered everything and controls everything, that then is important, because that's the part that we think we control. Right? Yeah. So then we deify Krishna. So we take the whole package. Now, of it, of course, Bhagavan's the prominent, because it's him who does these other two. So it's not that Brahman is studied on its own, Paramatma on its own, but Brahman in connection with Krishna, Paramatma in connection with Krishna. Does that work?
At the beginning of creation, quote, while Brahma sat upon his lotus seat, he was unable to understand his source, nor did he understand how to create the universe. It was only after pondering the depth of his own ignorance that Brahmadeva was favored by the transcendental sound vibration tapa. Verse 5. It is important to note that even Lord Brahma, the greatest living being in the universe, was unable to understand his position, his duty, and his goal by sense perception, pratyaksha. Right, so position, sambandha, his duty, avideya, and his goal, prayojan. And reasoning, anuman. Right, so by pratyaksha and anuman, he couldn't work it out. He attained perfect knowledge only after he heard and accepted the spiritual sound vibration, shabda. Srila Prabhupada explains. Right? So it's always the same process. So if it worked for Brahma, why won't it work for us? Right? Like that. It's just we may run it on a smaller scale. Brahmaji was bewildered in the matter of creation, and he could not even trace out the source of his own existence. But all this knowledge was fully achieved by him through the medium of Bhakti Yoga. By Bhakti Yoga one can know the Lord, and by knowing the Lord as the Supreme, one is able to know everything else. One who knows the Supreme knows everything else. That is the version of all the Vedas. Even the first spiritual master of the universe was enlightened by the grace of the Lord. So who else can attain perfect knowledge of everything without the mercy of the Lord?
So everything means how everything connects to the Lord. Because we may not know every detail of everything, but we know how it connects to the Lord. So that's perfect knowledge.
If anyone desires to seek perfect knowledge of everything, he must seek the mercy of the Lord, and there is no other means. To seek knowledge on the strength of one's personal attempt is a sheer waste of time.
unquote. Even though Brahma could not trace out the origin of that sound, he took up severe austerities as per this instruction. Thus he controlled his mind and senses, and the penances he executed were a great lesson for the living entities. Thus he is known as the greatest of all ascetics. Verses 6 to 8. According to Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur, Brahma thought, "Someone has clearly ordered me to perform austerity. It seems I am being directly ordered." End quote. Considering that it was for his benefit, he then concentrated his mind on meditation. Srila Prabhupada elaborates on the importance of tapasya for attaining the goal of human life. This penance is the beauty and wealth of the brahmanas and the renounced order of life. According to Bhagavat philosophy, every human being is meant simply for this tapa and for no other business. Because by penance only can one realize his self, and self-realization, not sense gratification, is the business of human life. This tapa, or penance, was begun from the very beginning of the creation, and it was first adopted by the Supreme Spiritual Master, Lord Brahma. By tapasya only can one get the profit of human life, and not by a polished civilization of animal life. The animal does not know anything except sense gratification in the jurisdiction of eat, drink, be merry, and enjoy. But the human being is made to undergo tapasya for going back to Godhead, back home. Right? So tapasya means engaging the senses how they should be engaged. So that's why then you have your duties, you engage according to that. So according to the particular position that one is in, then one situates oneself, and that defines one's duties. Then according to those duties, he sticks to that. So that's the tapasya, to stick to doing one's duties.
Okay, I think
taking the path of tapa is the second birth of the desired new cycle. Okay, I think we'll stop here.
So, get some more points.
Om Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
Srila Prabhupada ki, Samaveta Bhaktivedanta ki, Jai Nitai Gaura Hari.